Well, again, it's a pleasure and privilege for me to be here with you all today. And I was thrilled when John asked me to preach this morning as well as do the Leah's dedication. So, you know, I've been here each of the last 2 years talking to you all about Tent City. And I feel like I know you all a little bit, and through John, I've come to know you and your hearts for your community even better than I would have just in those two instances. And I just want to let you know that I love your heart to serve your community. Commend you on that. And feel no hesitancy in saying that God is really happy with that sort of thing. So, okay, fasting. I got to tell you that I really love, John told me about the bowl several weeks ago and what you all were doing with that, and I love it. It's especially nice with the Girl Scout cookies in it. Although, you know, not good for me, but those of you who can, that's good. I like the idea of the empty bowl and this symbolism of emptying yourself of various things through the course of Lent this year and the practicing of the disciplines that you are doing in that. And what was last week? Solitude? Silence.
They all jumped in.
They knew. I heard it. You hear the NCE at the end anyway. You know, that stands out. But I love that idea because it's a great approach. A lot of times what we tend to do with different spiritual practices in the church is that we make them sort of about the mechanics of things and we end up missing the point. So I love the imagery of the empty bowl because underlying all of these practices that you are talking about during these weeks, these things that you are experiencing through your Lenten journey, are really about something much more than just the mechanics. The same is true of fasting, which we're talking about today. Fasting is not as much about the self-denial as we often like to think, or as it's often taught. It's not even as much about the self-control as we might like to think, or as it is often taught. Yes, it's about those things, but it's about something much deeper than that. It's like saying baptism is about the water. No, it's about something much deeper than just the water, right? Fasting is about something much deeper than just the saying no to food. It's about something that God wants to do in us. It is for the sake of being prepared for an extraordinary infilling to the greatest capacity possible by the one who is, in fact, the filler. Paul writes about this to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verses the last half of 22 and in verse 23. He talks about God who has appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything. This is what God wants for the church, is that we would be filled to the uttermost, but not by the things that we want to gravitate to, certainly not by our mechanical obedience to certain commands or things like that. God wants to fill us by the one who is the filler of everything in this universe. And when we are full, like this bowl is full of cookies this morning, it limits our capacity. Fasting essentially is about expanding our capacity to its maximum so that the filler can give us his infilling. Oh, I'm done. That's it. That's all you need to know. Well, no, okay. I know that fasting is a little bit mysterious. Feels a little weird to people sometimes. I think that's actually part of what is underlying our tendency to want to let people know what we're doing. We feel like it's some sort of magic key or a secret handshake or a decoder ring or something like that. But it's really not that. It's not about self-inflicted pain. It's not even about self-deprivation. But because we think it is, often we find a way to broadcast it so that we get validation for what we're doing and feel like we're doing the right thing, and we don't really understand what it means or what it's doing to us or in us and all of that, but at least if people pat us on the back for it, we feel like we're at least doing the right thing. And boy, when we approach it on that level, we're missing so much of what the filler wants to give. We usually, when we're doing this, or I should say we often do this. We say that God did. We tell people what God did as a result of our fast, which means that we're saying what God did because of what I did. That's what it really boils down to. Again, not true. Now, this isn't to say that God doesn't do things when we fast, because clearly He does. And whenever fasting is talked about in Scripture, including in the text that was just read from Matthew 6, it's clear that God does respond to the fasting. But it's not really about our sort of leveraging some sort of behavior so that He must, or persuading Him somehow by our actions, by our devotion, by our commitment and all of that, so that He will. The truth is that God wants to fill us more than we want to be filled. Just like in pretty much every part of Christian life, God wants to give more than we want to receive. God wants to fill more than we want to be filled. God wants to grant grace more than we want to receive it. Can I just tell you that what God does as a result of fasting, of our fasting, is less the answer or the outcome of the fast than it is the emptying of self that positions us under His gracious reign, which includes the outcome. In fasting, fundamentally, we are positioning ourselves under God's gracious reign, which includes the outcome we get to see. So the text was already read from Matthew 6, 16 through 18. I want to read it to you again, but this time out of a different translation. It's actually Eugene Peterson's Message translation. I don't often do this, but it's helpful in this instance, I think. When you practice, he writes, when you practice some appetite denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you, quote-unquote, go into training inwardly, act normally outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. Can I just tell you, He can't be leveraged that way? He doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He won't miss it. He will reward you well. So this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right? It's one of the most famous sections of Scripture in which Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And his primary point as he's talking about fasting here is similar to his points about prayer. Namely, that is that it is not a spiritual merit badge or secret decoder ring or handshake or super, doesn't make us super spiritual over and against somebody else or anything like that. It's simply a tool by which we can make ourselves more open to God, more ready to be filled by the filler. Let me give you a little metaphor. Fasting is actually like the most focused, laser-focused form of prayer. It's like it's just zeroed in. It's not like other kinds of prayer. It's the most laser-focused kind of prayer. So let me tell you this little metaphor. Fasting is to prayer as weight training is to exercise. Fasting is to prayer as weight training is to exercise. Let me explain that a little bit more. Both of those are the product of desire. There is a desire on the part of the exerciser to go as far as doing weight training. I walk on my treadmill all the time. I've had my own little heart issues. And so I've got a treadmill at home, and I walk on it all the time. But the more serious I am about my exercise, I've learned this through cardiac rehab 3 times. You can't make this stuff up. It's real. If the more serious I am about my exercise and its impact on my heart, the more likely I will be to incorporate weight training. I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I'm 55 years old, for crying out loud. That's not really what I'm after. I'm looking for fitness and health and those sorts of things. But if I really want that, the most focused kind of exercise comes in weight training. Lots of people exercise, and exercise is good, but those who want to have the best possible effect will do some sort of weight training so that they can isolate particular problem areas and work certain things or build particular muscle groups. Well, many people pray at one time or another, and all prayer is good. Prayer is good. But those who want it to have the best possible effect in their life, on their person, will do some sort of fasting, at least sometimes, in order to remove life's distractions and isolate particular problem areas. Can we just all agree for a minute that life is filled with distractions? That you're going to leave this room today and you're going to say, in spite of that guy who was speaking, I got something out of it, and now I really want to do this in my life. And as soon as you go out the door, you're going to go to, what was that called, Pam's Kitchen? Grace's Kitchen. Grace's Kitchen here in Point Place or whatever, or Wesley's? Webster's. Weber's. Yeah, okay, see, I live in the Old West End. I'm a little out of your loop, but you get what I'm saying. And you're going to go home and you're going to want to talk about this more. John's going to want to talk about this more with Lauren. And Aaron and Elizabeth will probably be over for dinner. In fact, they'll probably all be for dinner. And they're going to want to talk about this. And then they're going to end up talking about the basketball game yesterday. And maybe, can you believe it's only a year since that earthquake? It seems like 5 to me. You know, and there are going to be all sorts of distractions away from this topic that for the moment you're going to be focused on. Fasting is one means by which God enables us to put aside some of those distractions. Can we just admit for a minute? I'll be the first. I'll go first. Food is a distraction for me. And so sometimes, somebody admitted it, sometimes it's good for me to put off the distraction. We got Girl Scout cookies at my house too. I'm not having too much trouble with that, but I love Thin Mints and Samoas. I mean, capital L. I love Thin Mints and Samoas. They can be a distraction. There are other things that can be distractions too, right? But fasting is our time to say, you know what, God, I'm going to empty my bowl. I'm going to put the distraction to the side for the moment. I'm going to take out, you know, I want to watch basketball today. I'm going to set that aside because it will distract me from this moment in which I'm intentionally saying, God, give me the grace to empty myself so that my life will be at full capacity to be filled by the filler. Sometimes in communion, at our church, we do communion by intinction most of the time. And so I often will tell people, you know what? Don't take some little pinch. Take a big chunk. You know, I want a lot of Jesus. I don't want just this little bit. I want my capacity to be great, to be big, to have room for the filler to fill me. Both of these things, in this metaphor about the weightlifting to exercise, fasting to prayer, both of them result in strength. They increase one's strength. They'll build, in the case of exercise, it'll build lean muscle mass, Well, that's not just physical. That happens spiritually as well. It'll increase your effectiveness in your life, and it will certainly increase your focus on God and on His place and calling in your life. There are some things, some characteristics about fasting that are just really important to recognize. First of all, it is a time of forcefulness in your life. Yeah, part of that has to do with your commitment to say no to food for a time, or to whatever else it is it might be you're saying no to. There's a forcefulness required of you, an intentionality of effort. There's energy expended in that, but can I tell you, the forcefulness of fasting doesn't so much come from us as it comes from God, who is, as we are emptying ourselves, is standing ready, waiting, anxious to pour into that emptied space what He so longs to fill us with. There's an openness that comes when we're fasting, because it's like we're being stripped down to just ourselves. We're being more honest, more raw, more naked when we fast. We're being stripped of the other things around us. We're being more vulnerable. We're eliminating the distractions, which frankly, friends, you know what? Anybody who knows me very well knows that I very seldom say wise things. And so because of that, I try to warn you. I might have told you that before. Because I try to warn people if I feel a wise thing coming on, and I think I feel one coming on, we use life's distractions as cover for ourselves. They're like our fig leaves. The distractions, the ability to separate myself from God's call on my life and my intention to really follow hard after Him, close after Him. It's convenient to have distractions to cover myself, to keep from having to follow so close. In fasting, because of what we are putting aside, those distractions, we're more vulnerable. There's little to defend us. And we are confronted with who we are. Can I tell you that when we fast and when we are emptying ourselves so that the filler can fill us, that God cherishes that. He loves it. He longs for it. When it is done with sincerity of heart so that He can fill us, not so that we can become the spiritual superstar at church and get the best committee places and those sorts of things, when we're not doing it so that somebody's going to notice, when we're not looking all, oh boy, I'm just really down today as I'm fasting, you know, so I'm a little hungry, and not making sure that everybody knows what we're doing. Little of value in that. In fact, we already have whatever our reward will be is already ours at that moment. But when instead we put aside the distractions of our lives so that our bowl can be empty, so that the filler can fill it, God cherishes that time, smiles on your life, smiles on your heart, expresses his pleasure. His jealousy for our attention is satisfied. And His desire for intimacy, which far surpasses our own, is also satisfied, and we find Him coming near, whispering sweet nothings in our ear. You know the expression pillow talk? God gives us pillow talk in these moments when we empty ourselves so that He can fill us by His grace. It's significant when we do it. It's important. It's important. Still, fasting has less to do with self-denial and deprivation, I'm repeating this, than it has to do with these two things, position and capacity. Fasting has to do with our position and our capacity. It has to do with aligning us under the reign of God's grace. It has to do with placing us in a spot where God is free to fill us. That this God who so desperately, so longingly wants to be near, wants to have intimacy, wants to fill us up with who He is. Fasting is about positioning ourselves for that and expanding our capacity to its maximum. So that when God pours, there is room for God to pour a lot into your life and mine. That's what fasting's for. The greater our emptiness, the greater the room for the filler to fill. Fasting is fundamentally about being completely at rest. I mentioned to you before that there is a forcefulness in it, but the forcefulness comes not so much from us, but from God. And He invites us to come, even in our fast, to rest in Him, to find in Him our sustenance, our strength, our vitality, our hope, our future, our expectation, our anticipation. God comes with His force so that we can rest like a newborn baby, content to rest in its mother's arms. It's a movement away from the hurry and the rush of life. A movement away from the preoccupations and entanglements with our egos and our tendency to turn everything in our lives in towards ourselves, our self-interest, our self-centeredness. It's a movement away from that. It is increasingly to empty myself of myself and be in God's presence. This kind of fasting, this sort of approach to fasting, allows God to fill up my emerging emptiness with His own presence so that the fullness of my life is that only of the filler of all things. In Paul's later words to the Ephesian church, he wrote in that great passage in Ephesians 3, he wrote that you, he's talking about several things, and he says, so that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's not about a way to convince God to do or give what we want. It's a means by which we, each of us, empty in the presence of ultimate fullness, become prepared and able to do and to give what the God of all fullness longs to do and to give to us and to our world. Lord, somehow in these weak words of mine this morning, come by Your Spirit and invite us into this place of fasting. Into this place where there's no posturing, there's no pretense. There's no trying to impress somebody else so that we'll get a pat on the back or think that what we're doing might be important or make us important. Invite us, Lord, into this place where we rest in Your presence, find the security, confidence, and strength to empty ourselves of ourselves so that we can be filled to the measure of all of Your fullness. And as we respond to Your invitation, oh God, I pray, grant us the grace to see You there, to hear You there, to meet You there, and to find more sustenance than we ever dreamed possible at the most loaded banquet table. Fill us, O Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.